What does it take to be a true disciple of the Lord? Pastor Ray Bentley says it comes down to love. Love for God, love for others.
Discipleship is very simple. It's not complicated. It's not, you know, you have to be a brain to figure it out. It is very simple. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then because God is in your heart, love your brother, love your neighbor as you love yourself, love your sister.
Spread the news. All of his people coming down before the King. Lift your voice. Jesus is coming. Join the song. Sing along. Let it ring.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. The Lord told us that people will know we're His by the love we display. But aren't we sometimes known more for our judgmentalism or our infighting? Today, Pastor Ray leads our study in 1 John with a good case study borrowed from the Old Testament. Let's listen now as Pastor Ray begins our study in God's Word.
All right, let's open our Bibles to 1 John chapter 3. There's only 2 points to the message, verses 10 through 12. How God is love, and then the problem with hatred, verses 13 through 15, and why we are compelled to love one another. So verse 10, 1 John chapter 3, verse 10, he writes, "In this the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest." So John's very, you know, light and darkness, truth and lies. You're either the children of God or you're the children of the devil. Well, here's how you can tell the difference. Whoever does not practice righteousness, or right living, or right actions, a right heart, right in the truth, is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother, or we can add his sister, or her sister. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil, and his brothers were righteous. We must love one another, for love is of God. And we say we're born again, we have the Spirit of God in us, then it's our new nature to love. What is the greatest commandment? Jesus tells us in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 22. It's there in your notes. Let's read Jesus' words out loud together. "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." So here's what Jesus said. Guys, discipleship is very simple. It's not complicated. It's not, you know, you have to be a brain or to figure it out. It is very simple. The commandments of God and the gospel of God is very, very, very simple. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then because God is in your heart, love your brother, love your neighbor as you love yourself, love your sister. And on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. If we don't love each other, John says, you're simply not of God. It's that simple. Now, let me also add, though, that while it's simple to understand, it's hard to live. It's easy to say, love God and love your neighbor. It's very challenging, can take a lifetime, and we never perfect it until we get into heaven. So if we don't love, how could we be born again? Because the nature of God is to love. He who loves God will love him or her that belongs to God. So verse 11, John says, "For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another." And he goes on in the next verse to talk about Cain, who ends up murdering his brother. Well, not only is that not love, it means that if you don't love, you are not in the middle of somewhere, but you are moving toward hatred. And he, you know, Cain ended up murdering his brother. Murder is the lowest level that a human being can fall into, because now you have just destroyed the image of God. For every man, woman, and child is made in the image and after the likeness of God. So when you murder someone, you've just fallen to the level of the existence of Satan. That's where Satan lives, and that's where he dwells. Because Jesus said, the devil is a murderer and a liar from the beginning. John chapter 8, verse 44. He was a murderer from the beginning. So now again, John is saying, go back to our beginnings. Our beginnings go back to God. Our beginnings go back to John 3:16, that God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe and trust in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So that's the message of God's love. And that's why Jesus was sent to us. You know, it's incredible that after, in John chapter 13, there's a few chapters there, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17 really, that are up the last night of Passover with Jesus and his disciples before he went to the cross. There's a lot of incredible teachings in there. And we learn that at the Last Supper, as we call it, the Passover meal, some extraordinary things happen during that meal. For one thing, Jesus takes off his robe, puts a towel around his waist, gets down on his hands and knees, gets a basin of water, and washes his disciples' feet. He loves them and ministers to them as their servant. And he's the Messiah who came from heaven, who had no beginning of days, is called the Ancient of Days, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. And he says, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. For my Father and I are one. He's on his knees. Do you realize what that tells us about our Father in heaven? Let alone about our Savior. The greatest in the kingdom shall be the servant of all. Therefore, I tell you to love one another, even as you have seen me, so love you. Now, what's ironic is that very meal is when Judas, Satan enters into his heart, and he decides to betray Jesus that will lead to Jesus being murdered, though he is innocent. And the last thing that Jesus does is he keeps saying, one of you guys is going to betray me, one of you guys, and they're all worried because they don't know who it is. And finally he says, the one that I, you know, he whispers to a couple when I put my bread into the sauce, which was a very Jewish, intimate, this is somebody that you want to be close to. I mean, close and loving. It would be like, you know, I know this is silly, but in our culture, you're hanging out with some guys that are friends, and somebody that you really want to show that you love, you dip your Dorito into the, you know, sauce and hand it to him for him. Wow. It's an offer of love and friendship. Jesus does that to the one who's going to betray him to be murdered. He was offering love to the very end, and Judas went out into the night, which is how telling was that? He went out into the night deciding as Satan entered into his heart, that's it, I'm betraying the man. After he's loving him, and tomorrow he's going to go die for his sins, but Judas will have none of it. Gets 30 pieces of silver, which is nothing, ends up throwing it away and ending his life. Tragic. And right after he gets betrayed, Jesus says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you should love one another. I mean, the heart of Jesus is incredible. Now, Cain is an example of a life of hatred. This is the guy to avoid like the plague. So what I want to do is since he's referenced here by John, this is where it went wrong, where it went bad, right in the very beginning. We're talking right after Adam and Eve and, you know, their two sons. We're going back to the very, very beginnings, guys. Powerful lesson. So I want you to go back with me. Let's go to Genesis chapter 4. And I want to read to you the story of Cain and Abel from Genesis 4, verses 1 through 16. We're only a few paragraphs from the beginning, where it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. But chapter 4, beginning in verse 1, says, now Adam knew Eve, his wife, means they had relations, and she conceived and bore Cain. And said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. And she bore again, this time, his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. So Abel was a shepherd, Cain is a farmer. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. And Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel, means he received Abel and his offering. But the Lord did not respect or receive Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin crouches at the door, lies at the door. and its desire, sin's desire, is for you, but you should rule over it. Verse 8, now Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel, your brother? He said, I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Boy, there's a powerful one. Anytime blood is involved and death occurs, the blood cries from the ground to God. Because the Bible says in Leviticus 17, I believe verse 11, the life of the flesh is in the blood. So now you are cursed from the earth, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you till the ground, it shall no longer yield its strength to you. A fugitive and a vagabond, you shall be on the earth. And Cain said to the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Surely you have driven me out this day from the face of the ground. I shall be hidden from your face. I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond on the earth, and it will happen that anyone who finds me will kill me. And the Lord said to him, therefore, whoever kills Cain, vengeance shall be taken on them sevenfold. And the Lord then set a mark on Cain, lest anyone finding him should kill him. Then Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod, on the east of Eden. Let's take a moment and talk about this just for a little bit. The opposite of loving your brother is hating your brother. I want you to note, first of all, Cain and Abel both had the same parents. So Cain and Abel not only both had the same parents, but I want you to also note they both brought sacrifices to God. In other words, Cain is not presented as an atheist. And I guess it would be a little easier to explain if Cain just went, I don't even believe in God. And, he lives like there is no God, and then he gets angry, kills his brother, becomes a murderer. Well, we could go, well, he didn't believe in God. But that option's not given to us. He not only believed in God, he talked to God, he heard God. There is a relationship thing going on to some extent, but not a personal one. And the point is this, those who belong to the devil pretend to be true believers. And this is a frightening thought. It means that it's possible to actually be a child of the devil and yet attend religious gatherings like church, as did Cain. They may even, bring offerings. They sing songs. They give some donations. But these things in and of themselves or by themselves do not make a person born again. There has to come a definite moment in time where you personally ask Christ to come into your life. That's for us today. But then with Cain, he had exited God out of his life and he hated his brother. So we would say this, the real test of whether or not we are born again is, do we love our brothers and do we love our sisters? And it is here where Cain fails the test.
Pastor Ray Bentley will have more of today's study in just a moment. Maranatha Radio is a listener-supported broadcast, and we love hearing from listeners who appreciate the help they get by tuning in to these programs.
Although I can neither give regularly or very much, I have not forgotten you. Ray Bentley's teaching is very insightful, and he really brings the Bible to life. Thank you for all you do, and I hope you'll remain on my radio station.
If you appreciate these daily studies, we hope you'll let us know. And your support helps us cover the costs of bringing these programs your way. Write us today, would you? Our mailing address is Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, zip code 92127. And now more of today's message from Pastor Ray Bentley.
So now we have to recognize the facts. Cain's spiritual father was the devil. And his actions and his attitudes really came from the devil. He was a murderer and he was a liar just like the devil. He murdered his brother and then he lies about it. Okay, read Genesis chapter 4, verse 9 with me. Then the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel, your brother? He said, I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? There's that famous line, am I my brother? What do I care? Well, that's not a loving attitude, is it? So our father, is one of love and one of relationship. And even when he was caught in the act of murder, and even before he murdered, when he was angry and his offering wasn't accepted, God was trying to warn him and speak to him and prepare him and to keep him from doing something evil, which he then did. And even after he did that, God kind of put a protection around him to give him an opportunity to repent later on in life. Well, as we're going over this section, it's kind of like you read this story, and at first glance, you go, poor Cain. I mean, the guy, you know, he was a farmer. He had, you know, some crops. That's what he brought. Abel's a shepherd or whatever. He's got some animals, so they kind of both bring what they have. And then God says, okay, you're cool, Abel, and accepts it. And then with Cain, nah, not good enough. Why? And it doesn't really explain it, and it just kind of leaves God looking a little bit unfair. So what is the difference? What's really going on here? How can we fill in this story to give it some understanding? I want you to note this. The difference between Cain's offering and Abel's offering, and we don't even have to guess. The Bible actually gives us the answer in the New Testament. It says that the difference was faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4. And our faith is always based on the revelation that God has given. In other words, faith means trusting in something. Well, okay, I'm ready to trust. What is it you want me to trust in? Whatever God's revealed will is and what it was. And I believe that God had given definite instructions to Adam and to Eve, who then were able from God to pass on to Cain and Abel exactly and definitely and specifically how God was to be worshiped. And that was through blood. That was through a blood sacrifice. Because in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve first sinned, and you remember what they did. They felt their shame. They saw their nakedness. Everything had changed. They knew something was terribly wrong. I believe there was a manifestation of that which was missing. They covered themselves with fig leaves, but God didn't leave them covered with fig leaves. What did he replace the fig leaves with? Animal skins. The first one who made an animal sacrifice was the Lord God Almighty, and he covered them, therefore, with animals. And why? What was God saying to them? Here's what God is saying. Sin separates you from me for eternity. It's serious, guys. You will die. The day your soul sins, you will die. And my holiness and my righteousness has to judge you. But there's another part of my nature and character. I don't want to. I don't want to judge you. I don't want you to die. I don't want you to be separated from me. You're in my image. I love you. So he needed and wanted the opportunity to satisfy his justice, but to be able to extend grace and mercy. And thus God takes this animal, and I'm sure that Adam and Eve had never seen an animal killed before in their lives. And they watch for the first time death. And they realize that animal was innocent. He didn't do anything to deserve what he got. But that innocent animal is what's now covering me, and that's what should have happened to me. And God sends a powerful message to humanity through the entire Old Testament sacrificial system that was only a prelude to the ultimate sacrifice that ended those sacrifices of animals. Because then finally, when God offered his son, he said, I don't need to see anymore. That one will last for all time and eternity. For God so loved the world that he gave his son. Because animals couldn't pay for men's sins. Only the Son of Man could pay for men's sins. God was sending a message. Guys, sin is serious, and it brings death, and only by blood. There's only two covenants in the Bible, the old one, the new one, and both of them are by blood. And so I believe that there had been given instructions, and I believe that Cain rejected God's word and decided to worship God in his own way. And believe it or not, that is the devil's thinking. Why do I have to do it that way? And if you have a pen or pencil, write down this little phrase. Faith is a word about relationship. Faith is a relationship word. I have a feeling that when Abel came, he was engaged with God. His eyes were upon the Lord, and he's looking at this animal, this poor, innocent animal, and it has to be killed and sacrificed. And he puts it on the altar, and there he prays and he realizes his own sin, and he's saying, oh God, I'm so sorry. I know that something's terribly wrong between us, and please accept my offering. I'm so sorry. Thank you. I love you. Forgive me. He's engaged with God. He's worshiping God. And so we find that God's blessing accepts that offering. And then Cain comes along, and all he's thinking about is my brother. I don't like my brother. I despise my brother. He thinks he's better than me. I'm going to do something different. I'm going to do it my own way. And there it is. And he never engages God personally or relationally, and he just walks off. And God's looking down going, well, hello, you weren't even thinking about me. Something is really wrong with you, Cain. And what I just saw in your offering is going to have an impact in your relationship with your brother. And he tried to grab him, and he tried to stop him and warn him. Have you ever been in a conversation with somebody, and you are pouring your heart out, and you're using your hands, and you're using your voice, and you're telling them, and they're engaged, and they're following you, and listening to you, and responding, and laughing, or making faces, or asking questions? Go to another conversation. You're pouring your heart out for 10 minutes or something, and telling the story, and they're giving you the 10,000-mile stare. And all of a sudden you realize, I've been talking for like 10 minutes. I don't think you've heard a word. Hello? Hello, McFly? Anybody home? What were you talking about? What were you saying? That's exactly where Cain was when he came. He was sitting there, you know, just like you're sitting there looking at somebody, but your mind is gone. No engagement, no relationship. That's where Cain was, on the outside.
Pastor Ray Bentley, taking us to the story of Cain and Abel for a lesson on living a life of faith and displaying love to those around us. Glad you've joined us today here on Maranatha Radio. And if you'd like a permanent copy of today's message, contact us and mention the title, Love is Surrender. We'll send it to you on CD for your gift of any size. Again, it's called Love is Surrender. And you can now get Pastor Ray's entire series in 1 John on a single CD, MP3s of every one of Pastor Ray's messages from this series on one compact disc. Order online at raybentley.com. Or here's where to write, Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. You know, Pastor Ray, sometimes we learn some of the most important principles by seeing them lived out in someone's life. In fact, the Bible tells so many parables for that very reason. They're living examples of one principle or another. Well, you have a new book just out, a novel that follows the life of a man through many trials and tribulations, and we can learn a lot from this man's story. Isn't that right?
That's absolutely right. People are going to fall in love with this main character. His name is Jack Garrison. He's a guy that's a believer. He goes to Baylor University. He's a Christian guy. And then a tragedy happens in his life that literally hits him blindside and totally robs his faith. He gets totally disoriented. But that's when God begins to work in mysterious ways. And all of a sudden, we see this guy that's lost everything. He's gone through a personal tragedy and tremendous pain and loss. And yet he's living in modern times, like right now. He gets brought along into a story where the next thing you know, he's walking the streets of Jerusalem. Where he doesn't even believe in the, you know, old guys, prophets with beards walking through the desert talking about end times, apocalyptic things. He says that's all nonsense. And yet he has some supernatural adventures and encounters that open his eyes to where he gets drawn right into the very midst, into the very center of the last days of the prophetic events while he's walking the modern streets of the city of Jerusalem. It's an incredible story. I can't wait for people to read it.
Well, the book is just out. It's called On the Mountain of the Lord, co-written by Pastor Ray and bestselling author Bodhi Taney. And we'll send a copy your way to thank you for your donation of any size. You can choose the amount, but please remember that it's your generosity that helps us continue to bring you Pastor Ray's studies each day. So get in touch today. Write Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Or order it online at raybentley.com.
And David, one more thing. I wanted to encourage everybody to please sign up for my daily devotional. We'd love to send that to you. Just go sign up for it at raybentley.com. I'd love to hear from you.
Yeah, that comes to you via email, and it's free of charge. Again, go to raybentley.com. Well, next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in 1 John. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.